to Acts chapter 8 this morning, and I want us to think upon the subject of revival. We have in this passage a revival that takes place in the book in the city of Samaria, and the good news of the gospel is beginning to spread beyond Jerusalem and Judea. And I was wondering if you've ever had something wonderful happen to you that you can't help but share it with those around you. I remember, and it's just over 20 years ago now, when Tanya and I were living in Lough. That's a little small town, it's a very tight-knit community, everyone knows one another. But the time came when Tanya went to the hospital and Emma was born. And I came back to Lough in order to pick up some supplies and get some things. And before I ever said anything, I was asked the question, well, what did Tanya have? And I thought, well, how did you know? I had a smile that betrayed what was going on. It became obvious, and I had good news to share with everyone that I met. That's how the gospel should be shared. We have good news to tell that we can't keep to ourselves. I remember reading of a story of the China Inland Mission. And they had a missionary doctor that was serving there. He, as part of his duties, removed cataracts from the eyes of an old Chinese farmer. A few days later, he looked out the window of his surgery and saw the same man with a rope in his hand. And at the end of the rope, well, there was a long line of others that he had gathered up, holding on to the rope so that he could lead them and bring them to the doctor who had performed the surgery on his eyes. That's how we have received God's gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ should be. That we have been so blessed by it that we want everyone to know about it and to receive the same good news that has set us free. So here in the book of Acts chapter 8, we find there's a great excitement taking place in the early church, as well as great uncertainty. We have noticed already that Stephen has been stoned for preaching the gospel. Saul is continuing to persecute the church, scattering them throughout the world. But everywhere that they go, they're preaching the word. Those early Christians had received something so wonderful that they were unable to keep it from themselves. They were compelled to tell others about the Lord Jesus. And so the text goes on to tell us of the gospel spreading into Samaria. And that was largely through the ministry of one of the other deacons that was raised up alongside of Stephen, a man by the name of Philip. And the theme of the chapter then is of the revival that takes place in the regions of Samaria. I wonder if the disciples ever wondered how they were going to reach into Samaria. There's a very real danger that when we look around us into the regions beyond, that we could be tempted to think they wouldn't be interested. They wouldn't be interested with what we have to tell them. People today just don't care about the gospel. How are we supposed to tell people that don't care about the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to understand that the need hasn't really changed from Stephen's day until ours. The people of Samaria and the people of Jerusalem and the people of the world in Stephen's day were no more sinful and no more departed from God than what people are today. And as necessary as it was in Philip's day for the gospel to be heard and believed, so it is today. Our world is hurting and searching for a means of peace and comfort, and the gospel gives it to them. Now, I recognize that not everyone will receive the gospel, but the lack of interest that we encounter must not be a result of our failure to share the gospel, but because of the hardness of their hearts. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and we should proclaim it every place that we find ourselves in. Now, I want to look for a moment or two at Stephen, at Philip's ministry this morning, under a couple of headings. I want you to think first of all about the reach of his ministry. Look at verse 5, if you will. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. When we introduce the subject of revival, you'll find that's quite a hot topic when it comes to conferences and books and blogs and conversations amongst church leaders. We are continually bombarded with the latest and the greatest approach for church growth and development. And while I appreciate the hunger and the desire to see God move amongst his people, I fear that to a large degree we have overcomplicated the matter. This single verse 5 reveals the formula that's needed. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I want you to notice the location to which Philip went. Philip went down to the city. I can imagine a conversation amongst the apostles. How can we reach the city of Samaria? Well, we could go there. That would be a good start. We could go to the city. We could go to the city where the people are actually located. That would surely be the easiest way to reach the people of Samaria. To go where they are. Now, at this time in church history, the majority of believers were meeting with one another in their homes. They didn't have large, fancy churches with flashing advertising signs outside their building, telling others of when the services would take place. The gospel message was relatively new within society, and if they had any hope at all of sharing their faith, they had to go out and tell others. Multitudes of people weren't simply showing up at their front door and asking if they could join them in their meetings. They had to go out into their communities and seek out others to come and join with us. Why don't you meet with us today? And you'll find that that has always been the biblical model. We weren't commanded by the Lord to build a church and then wait for unbelievers to come to us. We were instructed to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to them. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am very thankful for the facilities that we enjoy here. But just because we have a church building and meetings held in it week by week, we can't assume that the community knows who we are and where we are and what time we show up at. I know we have an advert, a sign at the side of the building, but how many people pass by and never read it? Like Philip, we must go and engage the people with the gospel. He went out into the city. Not just any city, he went to the city of Samaria. And you'll remember that there's been a long-standing hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. In our Saviour's day, in John chapter 4, the comment was made that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They would even walk around Samaritan territory rather than walking through it. They would rather take a longer journey and avoid the Samaritans altogether. Yet, we're told that Philip went to the city of Samaria. You see, the Lord wants us to reach out to people who are not like us. And to reach out to people that perhaps we might have a bias or a prejudice against. People that we might naturally avoid under any other circumstances. As Christians, we have to drop every prejudice that clings to us, and to see every person, irrespective of their culture, their background, their race, as a candidate for the gospel. People we may not naturally like need Christ as much as those that we do like. People that we disagree with and would rather avoid still need to hear about the Savior. There's a wonderful lesson in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 when Paul gives a whole list of people in Corinth of all kinds of wicked lifestyles that no doubt we might like to avoid, and Paul says, and yet such were some of you. But you're washed and you're sanctified because the Lord Jesus is mighty to save. Even those who are militant in their atheism and they're vocal in their hatred of Christ, that the Lord can still save them. People from other countries, from other cultures, other backgrounds, other languages, other lifestyles, they need to hear of the Savior. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. We also recognize that while we must be sensitive to certain cultural differences, the message doesn't change. He went down and he preached Christ unto them. The same gospel for all people. For the very simple reason that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior that God has given to us. There's one gospel for all people, no matter their culture or their background. You'll notice the location that Philip went to, the city of Samaria. Notice the communication. He went and he preached to them. We find Philip engaged in meeting with those who needed Christ, and he preached to them. The word preach means to herald or to proclaim or to publish abroad. Now I'm sure that Philip probably used many means to reach out to the people of Samaria. But his primary method was to preach to them. Now again, I'm aware that there is a need for other elements of worship while sharing the gospel and reaching out to those that are lost. But I fear too much today that our modern culture has abandoned this biblical method that Philip has employed. He preached to them. I know the arguments. Oh, people don't like being preached at today. I don't think people ever like being preached at. I don't think it's a 21st century problem. But neither can we deny that this is the method that Philip used and the method that God blessed. Modern culture tells us that preaching has had its day, it's run its course. We don't want that anymore. The claim is that we need a different, a new approach to be effective. And other avenues are being pursued and preaching has been minimized. That's why you can go to churches today and you can have a 10-minute message. I forget who it was described it as sermonettes for Christianettes. But this is what God has blessed. The preaching of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. We must be careful not to abandon it or to lose out on it. Now that doesn't mean that the only time that the gospel is preached is when the pastor standing in the pulpit. Not at all. We must be willing to proclaim the gospel in every location and in every place and in every circumstance and situation to tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Everywhere that we go, We ought to be telling others of the Lord Jesus. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Notice the distinction in his preaching. He preached Christ unto them. He wasn't holding seminars on how to have your best life now. He wasn't bringing the message of 5 steps to a happy marriage. He wasn't running self-help groups or asking for donations of seed money in anticipation for future financial blessings. He wasn't there to promote the first church of Jerusalem. He went and he preached Christ. Preached Christ. Now you will know that as ministers of the gospel, we are to preach the whole counsel of God. And there are times when the needs of the congregation must be addressed. How to be instructed in Christian living. There are times that we must reprove and rebuke and exhort. I'm aware of that, but we must not be guilty of neglecting to preach Jesus Christ. Crucified, buried, and risen again for the salvation of humanity. He went and he preached Christ. We're not called to appeal to the emotions. We're called to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we desire to see a movement of God in Kingston, Hobart, wherever, then the gospel must be preached. We have to say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we see something of the reach of Philip's ministry. He went out from Jerusalem into Samaria and he preached Christ. What was the reaction to Philip's ministry? Well, verse 6 tells us that the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Notice, firstly, the attention to the message. The people with one accord give heed unto those things which people speak. Now bear in mind that these events happened very early in the life of the church. The gospel was a relatively new doctrine. Something that they weren't familiar with. Philip is preaching to a people that have lived all their lives in a way that was totally different to the gospel of grace that he was preaching. Very much like today. And their reception is interesting. They with one accord listened intently to what Philip was preaching about and heard the message of Christ crucified. There was an interest. They gave heed to those things. There was a desire to hear more of what Philip was preaching. And I'm encouraged by that. He was going to a people who knew nothing of the gospel of grace, who had no understanding previously of what Philip was preaching, and yet when they heard it, God's Spirit moved upon them and caused the truth of the gospel to impress itself upon them. You see, we have come to the conclusion today, people don't want to hear about the gospel. They're not interested in what we have to say. But really, things really aren't any different than what they were in Philip's day. When God's Spirit moves, he opens the hearts and the ears of those that hear the message of the gospel. So they heard it. And you notice in the last part of verse 6 that not only did they give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They paid attention to the work and ministry of Philip. They saw working through him the power of the Holy Ghost, and they saw how that impacted the rest of Samaria, and they couldn't deny what was happening. They'd witnessed the miracles themselves. Now, I recognize that Philip enjoyed certain gifts of the Spirit that had ceased in our day, but the principle remains the same. The world is much more observant of us Christians than what we realize. They are watching our lives. They do see the things that we are engaged in. They will recognize the power of God's Spirit in our work. They can sense our joy and our peace even in the midst of turmoil. They can witness our patience and understanding in stressful times at work. They'll hear the excitement in our voice when we talk about our church and our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And while many will not admit to it, I suspect that there are many of them that would long to experience what we have in Christ. That joy, that peace that passes all understanding. And perhaps they're waiting for us to share our faith with them and to invite them to come and see a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that can make us whole. They give heed to the message. And you'll notice in verse 7, God confirmed the work and the ministry of Philip. Unclean spirits came out of those that were possessed, those that were sick with palsies and were lame were healed. Many of the Samaritans were under the spell of a man by the name of Simon. We refer to him as Simon Magus, a trickster, a satanic deceiver. Whether he was an illusionist or whether he was a follower of the occult, we're not quite sure, but he has amassed quite a following in Samaria, and he's obviously been used as a tool by Satan to keep people in darkness. But even there, under that strong demonic influence over people, the power of God is stronger still. We shouldn't be afraid to proclaim the gospel even to those who are obviously and blatantly under Satan's power. As Philip preached and ministered to the people, the Lord worked in miraculous ways. Unclean spirits were driven out. Those with physical infirmities were healed. There was no doubt to those that were watching that the power of God was at work amongst them. The gospel is powerful to save. And it can save those that are even sold out to the work of Satan. The power of God is still available to heal today. It can heal afflicted lives. The Lord is still able to deliver. And while we look at the miracles that were happening in Philip's day, and we think that those, the healing of those physical ailments and infirmities is wonderful, there's something far greater than that. The spiritual transformation in the lives of those that come to Jesus Christ is far greater still. For one to be bound in sin and destined for the judgment of God, to be set free, to be completely and eternally transformed in Jesus Christ. That when the Lord starts working amongst the people and changing lives for the glory of the Savior, the results will be evident for all to see. And that power remains today. It has not been limited in any way. The Lord remains able and willing to save all that call upon Him. And the results that Philip saw in Samaria, I believe, are available to us today. We can see changed and transformed lives. What was the end result of all of this? Verse 8 tells us that there was great joy in that city. Here's the result of Philip's faithfulness. Of going to an unchurched place and preaching Christ. God working through him and the message that he brought, saving precious souls. And the result is that there was great joy in the city. They have encountered a supernatural moving of God in their midst, and it brought joy to their hearts. Unclean spirits were cast out, the lame began to walk, but more importantly, lives were changed by faith in Jesus Christ. And what joy that brings! Sin that offered them joy but eventually brought them only sorrow is replaced with the joy of the Lord. God is working in their hearts and their lives. He has cleansed them and set them free from the bondage of sin. And they're now in liberty in Christ, and they're rejoicing over what God has done. You cannot possibly encounter the risen, living Lord and remain the way that you were. Hearts filled with fear and doubt are replaced with peace and joy. Their external situation may not have changed, but their eternal outlook has been changed forever. They have hope in Christ. There is a heaven to come and a place at the Father's side. Verse 12 tells us that there were baptisms also. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Their baptisms, of course, were an outward confession of what God has done in their hearts. They've experienced that life-changing power of the gospel, and they want everyone to know about it. And so their baptism was used to evangelize friends and families and to explain to them the change that had taken place in their lives. That they're now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy that was experienced wasn't limited to just a few people. It began to fill the entire city. Countless people were affected by this moving of God. The city of Samaria was fundamentally changed as God worked through his faithful servant Philip. It got to the stage that it would have been difficult to find a family in Samaria that hadn't been touched or impacted by the power and presence of God through the gospel. What an exciting and challenging time for the church in Samaria. And we're left thinking to ourselves, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord were to move in such a way that all of Kingston was caught up in rejoicing in the presence of Christ? Or all of Hobart was alive with the news of what God was doing? And we're already thinking to ourselves, it could never happen. It could never happen. But you know, the Lord is still able. And if we were willing to serve the Lord as Philip did, completely surrendering ourselves and our will and obediently following him, then I believe that we too could see a great move of God in our day. We could see God's Spirit at work through the preaching of the gospel. We would see lives being changed, souls being saved. We could see that great result of rejoicing throughout this community in a multitude of homes and families, because the Lord is alive and well and working in the hearts of people. We need to be engaged with God and the work that he's doing, and reach out as Philip did into those places beyond. This is a powerful testimony of the faithfulness of God to meet the needs of a fallen humanity. He simply needs a willing servant that will show himself as available to the Lord to use, and God working through him. I know that if I were to ask the question and seek a response, do you desire to see God working today in our homes, in our churches, in our towns and cities? Do you desire to see God at work in the families of our communities? I know that your answer would be yes. I know that you do. Well then, are we committed to obediently serving him, allowing the Lord to work in us and through us for the glory of his name and for the good of others? Will we be like Philip? at the Lord's command, going forth and sharing the gospel with those in our Samaria. And we reach out, believing that God, who is still upon the throne, is still able to save all that call upon Him. May the Lord make of us witnesses for His truth. And may we see revival in our day, just as there was revival in Philip's day. May the Lord bless us and encourage us in His work. Amen. Amen.